This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. It's a best-selling book now out in paperback. Dr. Mutter's Marvels, a true tale of intrigue and innovation at the dawn of modern medicine. You may have heard this on Science Friday here on WVXU because it was a favorite book of 2014 on that show. Kristen O'Keefe Aptowitz, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Mark, thanks so much for having me on.
This has been quite a book, and I was surprised when I was reading the acknowledgments at the end that this is a book that you had worked on for quite some time, a decade and a half?
Yes. I first began researching Dr. Thomas Dent Mutter in December of 1999, during my winter break from NYU. I had looked into it because the school I was going to was offering a fellowship for the best screenplay or play written about the life of a scientist or scientific discovery. And I was paying my own way through college. NYU, not the cheapest school to pay your own way through college. So I was always on the lookout for opportunities like this. And it was the first year they were offering it, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation Fellowship. And I thought, I can do this. I just need to find a story that no one else has told. And having grown up in Philadelphia and gone to the Mutter Museum quite frequently as a kid, the Mutter Museum being a museum of 19th century medical oddities, I realized I didn't know a lot about why that museum was started, if Mutter was a man or a family or an acronym. So I thought maybe there was a story there. And I wrote Gretchen Warden, the longtime director of the Mutter Museum, and said, I know I'm not the likeliest person to let into a medical archive. I'm an undergraduate screenwriting major. At the time, I was running a poetry slam out of the basement of CBGB's, the historic punk rock venue in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm really interested in this story, and I want to know if there's more there. And I would be so grateful if you'd allow me access. And they opened their doors to me and said, come on in. We don't know enough about this man ourselves and would love to know what you learn. And that will be 15 years ago this upcoming December that I first walked into the museum to begin research on Mutter. And it took 14 years for the book to be published. And it came out in hardcover last fall. And the idea that it would become a New York Times bestseller for 3 months was beyond my wildest expectations. But I'm so grateful that people have connected to Dr. Mutter and Dr. Mutter's Marvels in the way that I did researching it.
Well, I have to say I was familiar with that namesake museum when I first saw the book when it was first released, and that was something that I had always wondered about because I heard about all these oddities that are in that museum and was curious as to why it existed. But introduce us to Dr. Thomas Dent Mutter and exactly what he was like, because he only lived 47 years. He died quite young, but he had a major impact on modern medicine. Introduce us to the good doctor.
Dr. Mutter was born Tom Mutter of in Virginia in 1811. He was the son of Lucinda and John Mutter, and they lived a very happy life until disease struck their family, which was not uncommon in a time before germ theory would be proven. People in the early 19th century had no idea how diseases were spread, and so you'd have a disease like yellow fever or cholera or tuberculosis strike a city and could kill up to 15% of its population in one winter. So it was not uncommon to have stories where entire families were knocked out. And in Mutter's case, his brother, mother, father, and grandmother would all die in short succession, and everyone he knew died by the time he was 8. He was very sick throughout his childhood and adolescence, but it was those experiences that made him want to be a doctor. He always knew that he was like destined for greatness, even when he was an orphan ward. And so he went to Philadelphia to study medicine and decided to go into surgery, the one field of medicine where you would be allowed to rise up the ranks through talent alone. In every other field, you kind of had to know families in order to have access to the wealthier or more elite cases. But in surgery, you know, in that time period, anesthesia had not been invented. So you had all of your surgeries done while you were awake. In fact, they had men who were hired to literally hold the patient down onto the table during the procedures, both to keep the patient still and mostly to keep them from running away once the surgery began. And so if you were having your leg amputated, you kind of didn't care if that guy knew your dad or not. What you cared was if the surgery would happen quickly, as painlessly as possible, and that you would survive the surgery. So surgery was the one thing that an orphan, poor orphan boy, could rise up the ranks of. And he went off to Paris to study surgery. He had to sort of scam his way onto a warship, which is detailed in Dr. Mutter's Marvels. But when he arrived there, he discovered a brand new field of medicine. Back over there, they called it l'opérations plastique, what we would call plastic surgery or reconstructive surgery. And that is surgery done on to correct deformities or disfigurements that were done in birth or accident. And that was a really new form of surgery, because no one at that time period would choose to have surgery done on them unless it was life or death. These were essentially elective surgeries. And Mutter knew that this was something brand new and something that he would be great at, so that when he came back to America, he believed he would be the face of this new movement. And to sort of emphasize how important he would become, he added the umlaut to his name and changed his name from Tom Mutter of Virginia to Thomas Dent Mutter, Paris-educated surgeon, and began his life in Philadelphia. It was a rocky one, I will tell you that. They weren't really an early fan of Thomas Dent Mutter, who was very flashy and very outspoken at a time when sort of Quaker humility and certain lines of decorum were insisted upon. But Mutter's brilliance as a doctor and as a surgeon really pushed him forward and allowed him to have the career that he had, which influenced modern medicine as we know it and generations of doctors whose legacies, you know, we still benefit from today.
Dr. Mutter's Marvels, a true tale of intrigue and innovation at the dawn of modern medicine. I'm talking with Kristen O'Keefe Aftowitz, author of that best-selling book, now out in paperback. Details at our website, wvxu.org. And well, you've done a little bit of setting the stage, Kristen, but medicine there in the middle of the 19th century was not pretty. You mentioned about the fellows who needed to hold down the patients and how the patients literally did, because there was no anesthesia at the time. And medicine was a very dirty. I read the accounts in your book and I go, ooh, it's just, it can gross you out.
Phrases, yeah, my illuminating phrases in my research was, there was a common phrase in medicine, which was, the stiffer the frock with blood, the busy surgeon, which meant that when you went to visit a surgeon, you expected them to be covered in the viscera of their other patients as proof that they were trustworthy. If you came to a surgeon and he was in a perfectly clean apron, you wouldn't trust him. You'd say, no one else is trusting you with surgeries, and I'm out of here, which is not how I would choose my surgeon today. But literally, it was debated in lecture halls and in journals across the country whether or not doctors should wash their hands and tools prior to medical procedures. Mutter was fastidiously clean. And in fact, one of his innovations that we benefit from today was he invented the modern recovery room. Prior to him, when surgeries were performed in surgical clinics, they just dumped the patient into a wagon and then sent them home across the cobblestone streets of Philadelphia. And he was appalled by this. I mean, he was doing delicate surgeries on severely deformed people, and he didn't want them exposed to the diseases that were in that wagon, as well as, the rocking and rattling around in the back of a wagon that would hurt the stitches. So he insisted that recovery rooms be built to Jefferson, the institution that he worked at, and they refused. They didn't understand why it was necessary. So he took it upon himself and rented out a floor above a nearby restaurant. And after his surgeries were done in the classroom, he would move his patients over there and carefully watch over them to ensure that their healing was done to the standards that he demanded. And that's one of the reasons why the success rates of his surgeries were dramatically higher than those of his peers.
Well, then, and you mentioned the hand washing, and that was something that I was really shocked, and that came up in more than one account in Dr. Mutter's Marvels. In the book where you talk about how it was the doctors themselves that were sometimes the vector for disease because they did not wash their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the people Mutter clashed with the most was his colleague, Dr. Miggs, who is extensively covered in the book. He was an obstetrician who felt that women's heads were too small for intellect, but just the right size for love. So that kind of gives you an idea of how he thought about his patients. And he actually would lecture against it. He would say that it was insulting to ask a doctor to wash his hands because to do so would to insinuate that doctors, quote, weren't gentlemen because all gentlemen were clean. And this was an obstetrician. He literally was the first skin that a newborn baby would touch, and he was not washing his hands. And the book, Dr. Mutter's Marvels, would cover, researching those sort of communicable diseases that spread so easily was sort of the most shocking, one of the more shocking and interesting things to research. And it's amazing. The doctors back then who had to fight for this concept, decades before it would be proven by medical science. The modern microscope would finally prove the nature of infectious diseases, but that didn't happen until the 1890s. And I remember one of the doctors that we covered lived long enough to see that, and they said, oh, well, how do you feel to have your theory proven correctly? And he said, I didn't need an army of microbes to prove it correctly. I had scientific process, which, is just amazing to me. I always tell people it's kind of like if MacGyver was a doctor, That's kind of what medicine was like back then. You've got a gangrenous leg, you got a saw, a knife, and a candle. Make it work.
Kristen O'Keefe Aptowitz, author of Dr. Mutter's Marvels, A True Tale of Intrigue and Innovation at the Dawn of Modern Medicine, now out in paperback. It is breathtaking, the scope of Dr. Mutter's accomplishments through his short 47-year life. He was right there as medicine was changing and left so many legacies. You mentioned some of the doctors who went on to become very influential. You mentioned, a number of them in the books.
Yes.
But what do you think is the biggest legacy that Dr. Thomas Dent Mutter left behind from his short life?
I think that, the Mutter Museum itself, obviously, is a physical legacy, that his collection of unusual pathological specimens, which in his time period could have easily been sold to sideshows or, bars where people would, pay a dollar to see something shocking. And he insisted that these things that he had collected for decades of his life preserved for medical science. I mean, that's a legacy that's still being appreciated today. A lot of the diseases and disfigurements that occurred during Mutter's lifetime, rarely occur today in America because we have cured a lot of it through sanitation, through nutrition. A lot of birth defects now are erased by the use of prenatal vitamins and labor laws. Some of the stuff that he dealt with were horrible disfigurements because, labor laws, allowed factories, work to be horrendously dangerous. But these are all still issues that are present in third world countries. So while first world America doesn't really deal with these issues as much anymore, third world countries, these are still issues. So we have scientists that come to the Mutter Museum from all over the world saying, we've had this outbreak of this really weird deformity. Can we examine what you have on your collection about it so we know best how to treat it in our time? And that to me is really interesting. But I think in terms of a human quality, he was a humanist. He really believed that patients should be seen as human beings and not simply problems to be solved. And you see that in the work of the doctors who learned from him. They invented things like children's hospitals. They invented things like triage, the idea that you take a soldier from the field and quickly evaluate him so that he can get the best, most appropriate treatment. Jonathan Letterman, a protege of Mutter, invented that. They invented standardized medicine and insisted upon it. Mutter student helped form the FDA, the Food Drug Administration, and founded the chemical company that would eventually become Bristol-Myers Squibb, medicines that we all take every day. And the way they did that is because they believed that medicine's mission should be what Mutter believed it to be, which is to alleviate human suffering. And in reading and researching for Dr. Mutter's Marvels, I was so moved by his philosophies that I felt were applicable to my life, even as a writer, even as a non-doctor. And I hope that people walk away from the book with a deeper appreciation of modern medicine, which I'm sure is impossible not to have after you read what past generations of Americans had to endure. door, but additionally that they are inspired by the work ethic that he put forward. You know, he said, place no dependence on your genius, even if you have it. Nothing is denied without well-directed labor, and nothing can be obtained without it. So the idea that you shouldn't worry if you are the right type of person to do something, if you're smart enough, if you're moneyed enough, if you're attractive enough, none of that should matter. What matters is doing the work. And in writing this book, you know, I returned to that philosophy a lot and just said, you know, who am I to write the story of this brilliant man? And Mutter would tell me in his lectures and speeches time and time again, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you do the work. And I'm really happy to have done the work.
Kristen O'Keefe Aftewitz, author of Dr. Mutter's Marvels, A True Tale of Intrigue and Innovation at the Dawn of Modern Medicine. Learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club, 91.7.